15. Jesus saved. 15.
All right, Caleb, there's your song. And you got to sing loud now.
Thank you. Wednesday night series on the person of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, sir. And we're going to start tonight. I say start, I don't know if we'll finish. I'm not going to be in a hurry. About the Holy Spirit and what the Bible says about tongues. I'm going to do tonight is I'm going to give you opportunity. If you have questions, then I want you to ask questions. If you want to do it while I'm teaching, that's fine, or we'll take time afterwards. And the reason is because this is such a controversial area. If you want to start a good old-fashioned Donnybrook, talk about tongues. Because You can talk to people and you can share with them what the Bible says about tongues. It doesn't mean they're going to listen. Thank you. Because there's a saying, and the saying is true. The saying is, do not confuse the issue with facts. And if Grandma spoke in tongues, it had to be right. Okay? And that's just the way people are going to look at it. You can take them right to the Bible. But that's irrelevant. Don't confuse the issue with facts. So we're going to be looking at some of the things that the Bible teaches about tongues. What is tongues? So we need to be open about that. And I encourage you to make notes. And because I know you work with people. I know you do. You work with people that are firm believers and speaking in tongues. And if you started something like this, you better be ready to finish it. Because it's a battleground. All right, let's look at the introduction. The tongues movement has been prevalent in the past in small denominations. Alright? You have the predominant denominations that have taught for years will be like the Church of God, the Church of God Prophecy, the Assembly of God, the Pentecostal Holiness, the Nazarene churches. Some of those churches we don't even have in our area. I'm not sure if we have any Nazarene churches in this area. Not many of them. And now we have churches that are very, very large, very predominant. They don't call themselves by any denominational name anymore. They may call themselves a community church. They will call themselves worship centers. Okay? But this is even spilling over into other denominations. Number two says, today the tongues movement is becoming prevalent in many large, often liberal denominations. Now, not far from where I live is a church. The church has been there for, I don't know how long, it's been there probably 50, 60 years. And it's a Southern Baptist church. And it's had a history of having good pastors. But they got a pastor in many years ago. I was a teenager at the time. I know a little bit of the story behind it because I know a man that was a lay preacher that came out of that church. Now this pastor's name, strangely enough, was Billy Graham. But it's not the Billy Graham that you see on television. But he brought into this Southern Baptist church a controversy. And that controversy was he believed in speaking in tongues. Well, if you take tongue speaking and bring it into a Baptist church, you should have some problems. And he did have some problems because there were people that didn't know the Bible. But then there were also situations where there were people that swallowed it, hook, line, and sinker. Now, if you have a person that at one time was taught one thing and they go off into another area, then somebody is not very sound doctrine. Okay? I've made the statement before in churches that I pastor that if you were to leave, like if somebody left this church, I would like to think that they had enough teaching, background, stability, that they would go into another Baptist church. But you know what's sad? Lots of times they don't do that. I know people that have left Baptist churches and gone into Methodist churches, Wesleyan churches, and charismatic churches, and it's like, you know better than that. Which tells me something about them. It tells me that they never learned. That's why it's important to become students of the Bible. That's why it's important to do what we're doing tonight, is to have teaching guides to help us in our study so that we can understand this point. Why do I believe what I believe? Is it enough to say, my pastor has taught me this. That's not enough. A pastor, the right kind of pastor, will teach you what you need to know. But it's just like Caleb. Caleb is a little fellow and has to be assisted sometimes with his eating because he's a little fellow. But wouldn't it be something for Caleb to be 30 years of age sitting in that high chair? And then mama's feeding him at 30 years of age? That would be a problem, wouldn't it? You got to learn to feed yourself. And that's what we have to do from God's Word. We have churches today that are springing up everywhere, and there are some strange situations. But one of the most popular has always been this issue of tongues, and people speaking in tongues. Now, I contend that we're going to be looking at this tonight, and maybe next week if we don't get all the way through, that the Bible is full of the right teachings on what does the Bible say about tongues? What is the biblical definition for speaking in tongues? This is going out on the internet tonight. Might get some letters. Because there's no doubt people that think that I am crossing a line with what I've got to say. Because I'm probably killing churches by teaching this. But we have to rightly divide the word of truth. And so let's try to do that tonight. Let's look at the Bible. Let's let the Bible show us. And that's the whole point. Okay? Now, let's look at number one, Roman numeral one. The relationship between the Holy Spirit and tongues. What is the charismatic position? Let's talk about, just for a minute, that word charismatic. The word charismatic is from the word charisma. So if you took your pencil or pen, and if you divided or if you circled the word charisma and left out the tick, alright, then you would have the root word. And you know what the word charisma means? Here's all it means. It's no big deal. It just means gift. That's all that word means. So a person is charismatic. Have you ever, alright, what if I said this? Bill Clinton was one of the most charismatic presidents we ever had. Do you know what that means? Didn't mean he was a tongue speaker. But you can say anything you want to about old Bill. Bill could charm the bees out of the beehive. He was good about that. Okay? So that's really what, just so you're gifted. That's what the word charismatic means. So people involved in the charismatic movement believe in the gifts of the Spirit, but they oftentimes take the doctrine of the gifts of the Spirit and they abuse them. Now, let's look at the definition. Tongues are the direct result of the baptism or filling of the Spirit. Now, that's what the charismatics say, not us. The charismatics say that when you become either, they use the word interchangeably, like we talked last week, between baptized with the Holy Spirit or filled with the Holy Spirit. So they're saying that when you are either baptized in the Holy Spirit or filled with the Holy Spirit, that you will have a direct opportunity and speak in tongues. Now, what are tongues? Tongues, by their definition, is what we would call an unintelligible language, a language you cannot understand. Okay? I don't know if you've ever heard anybody on television or not, for instance, or the radio that speaks in tongues. I tell you somebody that, and I don't watch these outfits, but once in a great while I have watched Jimmy Swagger. Jimmy's a jailbird, you know that guy. But Jimmy will be preaching and he'll roll some tongues off. And what few times I've ever heard Jimmy, what he says is the same thing. He'll just start this same way. Now, all right, if what he's saying is a tongue, a heavenly language, that's what they say it is, it's a heavenly language. If that's a heavenly language, he's telling God to say it in tongue. I don't think God is redundant or hard up. I think God knows pretty much you don't have to say the same thing. It's not hard to hear. Okay? Right. So, but I hear people that do things like that. There was fellow I remember up in Martinsville, and he's been at his little church. I mean, little church. He used to be called the Martinsville. I think it was Martinsville Pentecostal Holiness Church. And then he changed the name of it. He called it the Adventure of Faith Church. And the reason is because that was his name of his radio program. And he used to be, some of you remember, this is how far back this goes. Some of you remember the old WWMO radio station? He was on there. And he would come on, I think, Friday nights or something. And one night he got to speaking in tongues on the radio. And the fellow that was the DJ turned him down. And now, number one, if you're going to let him pay the money, you got to let them do what they're going to do. If not, you need to be upfront with that. Well, this preacher, he was pretty well upset with that. Albert Ross was his name. And he still pastors that little church. But he called them up and he let them have it. You know, he said, I paid the money. If I want to speak in tongues, then you let me speak in tongues. And he's right. I mean, if you're going to spend the money, if you're not up front and say you can't do this, then that's another story in its own right. But they believe in that, and you can't tell them different. Okay? Now, what is the biblical position about tongues? Okay? This is letter B. The baptism and filling of the Holy Spirit are entirely different. We talked about that last week. Let's review that for a moment. The baptism is when you are placed in the body of Christ. It is not when you are immersed in the Spirit and you get to speak in tongues. Now, I was talking about Jimmy Swagger a few minutes ago. Now, another fellow that I get a big kick out of, and I mentioned him before because he's funny, is this fellow Ernest Hinch. And Ernest is 90 years old. If you ever used to follow him, he's 90 years old. Now, he still pastors, used to be Rex Humbard's Cathedral of Tomorrow. Now, it's the Ernest Angley Grace Cathedral. And so, anyway, he teaches very plainly, that once you get saved, you're sinless. And he also teaches that we ought to give our tithes to him. He teaches that too. And he does believe in tongues. He does believe in divine healing and all that, because he's considered a faith healer. And he's just funny. If you've never seen him, you ought to see him before he kicks him up. But he's a hoot. But here's another one, that if you get off in some of these areas, do you see what happens? You get off in a lot of other areas. He's wrong in tongues. He's wrong in divine healing. He's certainly wrong in sinless perfection. All right, so this thing branches out into different areas. So we have to be careful. If you get messed up in one area, if you are sitting at this table, you have a jigsaw puzzle, and you get one piece of that puzzle messed up, you could mess the whole puzzle up. And that's what happens if you don't understand biblically, doctrinally, what the Bible says about certain matters. You can get all kinds of messed up in your belief. People do get messed up in their beliefs. They get confused. That's why you have denominations. Now let me tell you something. Am I in favor of denominations? And the answer is absolutely. I am very much in favor of denominations. I have a serious time with the church that will not put a denomination on their church logo. If they say I'm the Grace Church, I got a problem with that. I want to know, are you Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal, what are you? Are you not willing to tell me what you believe in? If that's true, you're being deceitful, and I don't know what that to do with your movement. So I believe in denominations. I want to know. That way, if I don't believe in tongue speaking, I don't have to go to your church. Okay? But if I go, I'll tell you another fellow on television that for years, but for quite some time when I first was getting used to trying to understand what it was, I didn't understand it was John Hankey. John Hankey does not deal with tongues, the baptism of the Spirit, none of that stuff that I've heard. Again, I don't listen to him a lot. But then they did advertisements, and they started saying, we're going to have a camp meeting, and we're going to have these speakers. When I saw the speakers he had, I said, okay, bingo. Now I know what you believe. But see, for a while I wasn't sure, because a lot of the stuff Hagee teaches is solid stuff. But when I saw the guest speakers he had, I said, well, I know who you are. And we need that. We need to know who people are. So there's a charismatic position, there's a scriptural position, a biblical position. And the point is that tongues are not necessary for being filled with the Spirit. Tongues are not necessary for the baptism of the Spirit. You can't find it in the Bible, no matter what anybody says. Now let's start tonight. Look at C. Tongues are not for everybody. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. While we're turning there, where did people get the idea for this term charismatic? Well, again, the word charismatic comes from the word charisma, which is a Greek word meaning gifts. And if you want to find the story, if you want to study gifts, study 1 and 2 Corinthians. 1 and 2 Corinthians talk about the gifts, especially the gifts of the Spirit. Okay? So in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I thank the Lord for Greek scholars, people that do word studies, but I'm going to tell you something. God gave you and I a perfectly good English Bible, and it speaks up for itself. You haven't lost much. I mean, you know, I appreciate people who, like I say, are students of the Greek language, and they can do the word studies, and I appreciate that, and I've done it. I studied 2 years of Greek. I finished with a B average in Greek. I did all right. But, you know, I've not studied a lot of them, because I believe God's given us the Word of God, as we talked about in weeks past. God's given us His Word right here, so I'm fine with that, and I think you are too. But in chapter 12, we see a series of things about the teaching about tongues and the relationship of the Holy Spirit. Chapter 12, verse 28. Here are some gifts. Here are some charismas. Verse 28, chapter 12, 1 Corinthians. And God had set some in the church. First apostles, secondary prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles. Then, gifts of healing. Or I should say, healings. Helps. Governments. Look at this one. Diversities of tongues. Now, somebody could stop there and say, all right, that's all I need to know, and its tongues are here, and we need to utilize them, and if we don't, we're disobedient. Well, now we've got to keep going. Question Paul is asking, are all apostles? Well, you know the answer to that, don't you? Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. Are all workers of miracles? Now wait a minute, we're getting kind of close in right here. Can everybody work miracles? No. You see the answer to every one of these? Every answer is no. We're not done yet. Have all the gifts of healing? No. Do all speak with tongues? No. Do all interpret? No. This is what we call rhetorical questions. And every one of these are the same types of questions with the same answer. And the answer is no. Let the Bible interpret the Bible. Okay. Now verse 31 says this, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. Now what does he mean to covet the best gifts? That means that there are some gifts that are more important than others. Whoa. That's not what the charismatics teach. They teach that all the gifts, all the charismas are available today. Every single solitary one. And that's what every charismatic's going to tell you. Now, my question is, have the charismatics read these verses? And more than likely, they have not. Now, let's go on to chapter 13. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, I wonder if they had the same misinterpretation that people have today. I would think so. Because it says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, did Paul speak with tongues? I don't see a record that he did, but he may very well have. But nonetheless, he said, though I speak, and I think he's being kind of throwing out this wild thing here, wild hypothesis. And he's saying, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity. And you know the word charity means love. I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. So that means that love is more important than speaking in tongues. Now I understand people. I've met people. You have. Let's get right down to where we are. I know some people that tell me they speak in tongues. I know they tell, and if they speak in tongues, here's what they're trying to tell you. They're trying to tell you that they speak in tongues and you don't, they're more spiritual than you are. That's exactly what they're telling you. Okay? They have reached, if you will, a nirvana that you haven't got to, and God bless you, poor good claim you may never get it. Okay? That's pretty much what they believe. But you know what? I've heard those same people. You ever seen one of those people that, you know, for instance, they believe you lose your salvation. They believe that you're not going to sing like Ernest. And yet they'll lose their temper. You ever seen people like that? And I'm amazed at how they can explain all that away. But they do. They try to make up and say, okay, well, you know, they give all kinds of... But the truth of the matter is, just because a person speaks in tongues does not make them super spiritual. He said, if you don't have love, you can speak in all the tongues you want to. Then in verse 2, though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains and have my charity, I am nothing. And then in verse 3, though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, that means that he's willing to be a martyr and sacrifice his life. But he says, if you do it all without charity, it profitable. There's a reason the Bible says the love of money is the root of all. And I don't know if it gets to you or not. I get a little scared when I see men that are supposed to be ministers. Again, a lot of television preachers. And they get messed up. You probably have seen in the news about a black preacher down in, he's got two big churches. One in Georgia, one in Charlotte, North Carolina. He has been accused of sodomizing teenagers in his church. Males. I've lost track of it. It was all in the news and just all kinds of things out there, and I'm not sure what's all happened. I think his wife left it the last time I heard. But he's got two mega churches. At one time, it was a Baptist church. They changed that. They got rid of the word Baptist, and he got into the charismatic stuff. Well, why would the Lord fill somebody with the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues as a sign of spirituality if you have committed sodomy with four now 20-year-old men? Sometime, right. Some people trust in things that they can hear or see to give validity to the fact they're spiritual. Does that make sense? I must be spiritual because I speak in tongues. I must really love God because I have given a prophecy. And there's a problem. Spirituality cannot be seen. Now, it can be observed in a person's attitude. So some people may be very humble and they never walk with the Lord. But you don't really know that. You don't advertise that. But people may see that, but they're not going to see it overnight. But if you get up and say, well, I speak with tongues and I do this, no. It's not a sign of being spiritual. Because here's what actually somebody's doing. They get up and say, well, I speak in tongues. You know what they are? They're proud of what they're doing. They're proud of speaking in tongues. I'm trying to think of the saying. I used to hear it all the time. People said, I'm saved, baptized, filled with the Holy Ghost, and speaking in tongues. And they say it run like that. And maybe you've heard that too. Why do they do that? Because it's become a cliche. It's become a slogan. Okay? You know, you don't have to broadcast that to people. Okay? I'm real spiritual. Let me tell you why. You don't have to do that. If there's any spirituality about any of us, we hope and pray to the good Lord that people will see it and be blessed by it. That's not something you go around and toot your horn and say, look at me, I'm really godly, I'm really spiritual. Sort of like Luke 18, the rich man and the pope, the Pharisee and the pope. The very Pharisee held his eyes up to heaven and said, Lord, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are. I fast, I tithe. And he gave a list of what he did and he said, I sure think I'm not like this. Publicly, the Bible says, kept his eyes down, he smote upon his breast, and he said, oh God, be merciful to me, son. The Bible says, which one of those men went to their house justified? Very easy. But the Pharisee was a religious man. He was so full of his religious pride. So we have to be so very careful with that. Now, point is, tongues, according to the Bible, are not for everybody. Not everybody is going to speak in tongues. And you can't find any place in these verses that teaches that it makes you a better Christian speaking tongues. It's not there. It's not there. And if somebody looks down, if somebody at your work, or you have a relative or somebody, and if they look down their nose at you because they say, well, have you spoken in tongues yet? You know? And you say, no. You know what you need to say when they ask you that? Say, I have a hard enough time controlling the one I've got. But they're looking down on you. But that doesn't make them spiritual. If anything, it makes them a spiritual dwarf. But you cannot convince them. All right, D. Tongues is not the evidence of being filled with the Spirit. All right, let's look at a couple of these and then we'll close down tonight. Let's look at Acts chapter 4. Verses 8:31-33. All right, let's look at verse 8, chapter 4. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel. Now he's getting ready to preach. It's interesting, is it not, that previously, within a short period of time, what did he do? He denied Jesus. Now he's preaching in front of a multitude of people. There is a Jewish convention that's going on. Nations are represented. The nations, we looked at them last week, I think, they're down in verses... where's the list of verses? The nations in which they are there. Okay, we'll see. Back in chapter 3, that's what it is. Chapter 3 is the Pentecost. And verses 8 through 11 list all the names of the people that are here. After he gets done with that, and 3,000 people are converted, then we go over to chapter 4. And now he is filled again with the Spirit of God. He's already been filled at least once or twice previously in this book. Now he's getting filled again. Again, no reference of being speaking in tongues, other than the fact of being languages. We talked about that. The tongues in Acts chapter 2 are foreign languages. Very important to understand that. They said, how speak we every man in the tongue where we were born?
Hearing voice right there. English right there. Alright?
So he's talking to rulers of people and elders of Israel. Then in verse 31, and when they prayed, the place was shaken. When they were assembled, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. There it is again. And they spake the word of God with boldness. Verse 33, neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold. I'm going to go wrong for verse 34 and 9. 33, and great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord, and great grace was upon them all. What was the evidence of being filled with the Spirit? It was not tongues, as far as you and I understand tongues. It was tongues in chapter 2 to preach the gospel, but every single solitary time, people who were filled with the Holy Spirit had the power of God on them to witness. That's why when you and I try to witness to people, you know what we need to do? We need to pause and we need to say, Lord, I want to speak to so-and-so. I want to talk to them about the Lord. I need you to empower me. I need you to give me boldness. That's what it said over in verse number 31. They spake the word of God with boldness. Do you feel like sometimes, and I'm going to say this harshly because I'm talking to myself, do you feel sometimes like a coward? You want to talk to people and you can't get it out. And it's tough. It's tough because, I mean, this flesh does not like confrontation like that. But if God give me boldness to try to talk to somebody, and especially God give me an open door to talk to somebody, that's one. Because sometimes God will do that one. Maybe you've been in that situation where you're with somebody, you're having lunch with somebody, you're working a job with somebody, you're going to school with somebody, and a door will open so wide. And then it's like, wow, Lord, help me to get through the door. And then you begin to plant that seed. And you begin to talk to them. Who gives you the power to do that? The Holy Spirit. You don't have to get up and stand on top of the table and speak in tongues. You just have to share your faith in Christ. So again, what do we see in these verses? Filled with the Spirit. For what? Witnessing. Sharing your faith. That's your power. That's the power of God. Okay? Alright, any questions on anything that we have talked about so far? Something that doesn't make sense? Something that maybe you have encountered in your daily life that has been a real problem and maybe trying to help or work with people who hold this position? Anybody? As I asked you earlier, think of something if you want to. And because we're learning. It's not easy to deal with people who hold this position. They're very dogmatic about it. They're not going to let loose of it no matter what you show them. As I used that statement before, do not confuse the issue with facts because they're not going to accept the facts. But sometimes they'll try to back you in the corner. And it's like, you might say, I don't know how to answer that. So we need to talk about that, you know, that goes to your mind. Because if you experienced it, and I promise you this, a bunch of us have also experienced it. Okay. Anybody? If not, between next week and down at the bottom, it says there's some room for personal notes. So if you have questions or whatever that you run across this week, and we can talk about it next week, that would be good. But we'll stop there and try to finish that up next week.